listening to this week's LaFever CFC podcast. Connect with us via our website, lafevercfc.com, or our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/lafevercfc. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I am the way, said someone called Jesus of Nazareth in the 33rd year AD. Well, I reckon it was. I mean, it was close enough to the crucifixion that that's what I'm going to say anyway.
Have you ever removed your helmet?
No.
Has it ever been removed by others?
Never.
This is the way.
This is the way.
This is the way.
You can't see it that well.
This is the way.
Who's watched The Mandalorian? All right, there's some big hands up the back. You're fans, are you? So this is the way. This is the way. I gave a talk to a bunch of agronomists. They're the people like crop doctors, I guess you'd call them. So they're like farming advisors. And I was talking, and I was getting quite passionate about something to do with plant breeding. And then one of the agronomists just calls out, Hayden, this is the way. I was like, okay, we're on the same sink. We've got the minds happening. All right, so there's a series called The Mandalorian. And there's this little catch cry. It's called, and they say, this is the way. Now you might go, well, why are you kicking off with that? Well, mostly because I just thought it'd be fun. And it is spiritual. You can buy T-shirts now, right? And I'm selling them. They're up the back. No, not really. All right, so this is what we're preaching on. So it's, this is the way. John 14. So if you can make it super spiritual. I used to have a T-shirt that said JCDC, Jesus Christ Demon Crusher, instead of ACDC. I think, you know, it continues on, right? It's just as cool now as it was back then. All right. Awkward laughs. I used to get into fights with another guy on the bus because he wore a T-shirt that said ACDC and I wore JCDC, so then we'd have to discuss things. So anyway. All right. Does that come up all right? You can read. Yep. Okay. Let's read the passage that we're talking about. So this is John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I'm sure at that point, Thomas went, yeah, that wasn't really an answer, Jesus. You didn't actually answer my question. Well, I don't think you answered my question. And it was interesting because I'm actually going to focus in on what Thomas said. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know how to get there? So that was his question. Jesus, what's the destination? What are we talking about here? And the reason this is important, I thought I'd share what I was up to last week. So last week, I took off from Adelaide Airport and actually saw Sam in the airport. So that was a good start to my travel. We had a good yarn for a while. And half an hour later, I was on the Eyre Peninsula, over the top of the Eyre Peninsula at Port Lincoln there. So that was my little journey. That was the way I went, okay? So just leave that in the back of your mind. Oh, by the way, I don't have much to say today. This is going to be fairly fast, so... Because my basic message, well, is to just recount maybe how I think I've often thought about the statement, I am the way. So the logic that I would follow is pretty straight, right? And it starts with, okay, what's the destination that maybe Thomas and others and we often think about? We think, well, it's paradise, it's heaven. What's the obstacle? My sin. What's the way? Jesus. Okay, so my conclusion is then, that Jesus, who was sinless, died on the cross so that I could live in heaven when I die instead of eternal hell. That's pretty much, you know, it doesn't seem particularly wrong, I don't think, but that was sort of where I think you land if you think about where am I going, my Father's house, there's mansions, oh, it's full of gold, heaven, that's holy, that's where I'm going, I know I'm dirty, so Jesus had to do something, and so this is what Jesus is. He's the sacrifice for me. Problem is, that concept I realise, led me up the garden path a little bit early on in my faith journey. Because I remember as a teenager concluding, so hang on a minute. What's this all I can't get to heaven without Jesus thing? Because seems to me, logically, that if I managed to be perfect, then I wouldn't need Jesus, right? Does that seem logical? I mean, like if Jesus came simply to undo sin, and if I didn't sin, then why do I need Jesus? I mean, clearly I'm not perfect, all right? Sorry, everyone, if that shattered your illusions of me. But if that logically, it would seem to me that that would sort of make sense. And then the next time that I was challenged on my thinking was when I sat down with a young lad, not much older than me, who was a Jehovah Witness. And he said, but Hayden, I don't get it. Like, we believe basically the same thing. Why is it that Jesus needs to be God? Because, you know, one of the major things of the Jehovah Witnesses is they believe in Jesus. They believe pretty much what I just said, except for the fact they don't believe that Jesus is actually God. They believe he's a God, basically synonymous with Michael, an archangel, a created being who was perfect and accepted our sin on his shoulders on our behalf, right? And so he said, but so Hayden, why is it so important that Jesus was actually God? And I was completely dumbstruck because I couldn't answer. So, that's a really interesting point. Why did Jesus need to be God? So that got me to thinking a little bit about this view of the way. And what is Jesus talking about when he says, I am the way? So for starters, I told you before that I took off from Adelaide and half an hour later I was over the top of the Eyre Peninsula at Port Lincoln. And it is true, right? It is true what I said, but it's not the full story. And then flew for another 2.5 hours until I got to Perth. Now, whilst I could have, it might have caused a few issues, jumped out of the aeroplane and landed it in Port Lincoln, that wasn't actually the destination. That was just part of my journey. Now, my analogy would hold up a whole lot better if it was a train that I was on, right? And I stopped off at Port Augusta because clearly you can't jump out of an aeroplane easily, all right? So my whole analogy falls down, but go with me on it, all right? So it does matter, because if I said I'm going to Port Lincoln, then I caught the wrong plane, right? Clearly I was on the right plane, but it took me all the way to Perth, just happened to go through Port Lincoln to get there. I'm going to draw a little analogy back to what I think Jesus was talking about. Because what is our destination? And if Heather and Pete, if you're watching right now, I'm not at all dissing Port Lincoln, all right? It's a beautiful place. And I would be quite happy for that to be my destination. But in this particular case, that wasn't where I had to be. It was in Perth. And so I would argue that the destination that we're called to, the destination that Thomas was asking about and the one that Jesus said about, wasn't just this whole dealing with sin thing so that we could get to heaven. Like as in like that's what he was all about. Is anyone looking at me skeptically? Or are you just like, yeah, Hayden, we know where you're going, keep going. I'm trying to build this up, right? Okay, so here's where I'm trying to go with it is. My thought is the concept that we are saved by Jesus' death and that is all that Jesus meant when he said, I am the way, starts from a very shallow point of view. It starts from a point of view that I am fallen, and Jesus had to fix that, and he used Jesus to do it. All right, it starts with I am fallen. That's where that starts with, because then it thinks, for example, Garden of Eden. That's actually what we're going to end up back at. That Jesus says, when I am the way, what he's really saying to you is, I am the way to get back to the Garden of Eden, which you can't be in anymore because of sin. All right, but I think Jesus meant a whole lot more than that, because we're called to a whole lot more than that. So a few verses to throw at you. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you've been brought to fullness. So I reckon Jesus is talking about something much bigger. It doesn't say you've been brought back to purity. It doesn't say you've been brought back to being sinless. It says you've been brought to fullness. And we all know John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, right? So a lot of what we're talking about, thank you, is about fullness of life. So just a little bit later in John 14, it actually says, because I live, you will also live. Okay, so that's dealing with something we were just talking about. This branded AGT bottles. They're really bad. They always snap on the top. I mean, you've got a daughter that chews on them. They snap really fast. All right. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize, and this is huge, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. So this is only a few verses later. I think he was actually still answering Thomas. He goes, you're actually going to eventually realize where it is that I am the way to. And it's going to be so deep and so fundamental that what you're going to realize is we're one. That's pretty huge. This is from the, where are we going? Ephesians chapter 1, this is the message. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Long before the earth's foundations, he had us in mind. Had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Interesting that he's not saying there after we fell, he thought that he might make us whole. It's like right from the very beginning, that was his plan. So this is not just returning us from the sinful state to the sinless state. This is far deeper. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. See, I had this view that Jesus became the way in response to our sin. But Jesus was the way in the Father's heart for all eternity. And he wasn't just the way, and yes, it's true, that he undid sin. I'm not actually questioning that, but I'm just saying that's just part of it. That's actually just the little bit that needs, that's the little bit that needs to be done. The big bit is he took us, the created, and said, guess what? You're part of my family. Just like we are all one, you're now one in us. And I'm not going to let a little thing called sin stand in the way. I'm going to deal with that too. So what a pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hands of his beloved son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. Okay, so that's important, right? So I'm not questioning that at all. But that needs to be done. And then it says, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. When did he make them? Right before the foundation of the earth. He made plans for each and every one of us to be adopted into his family, to be part of his life. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. That's pretty huge, right? This is a lot bigger than just the destination of undoing sin. I've put this up before because I love this symbol, because I think it just says so much. We don't do big symbols in the Protestant church, right? But in the Orthodox, you'd see this one. In the Catholic Church, you'd probably see it, but definitely the Orthodox. And it's the Trinity symbol. So it's just describing that there's three persons of the one Trinity with an interflowing love that never stops, never ceases. And when it says God is love, we're talking about the relationship in the Godhead. But we're caught up into that now. We're caught up into that family. We're adopted as children with Jesus as our brother. So that makes you think a little bit about, well, what about Adam? Where was he at the time? So you have to conclude from that that Jesus, even if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned and we all carried on, that Jesus was still going to come and he was still going to adopt us. So, sort of likens a little bit to Pinocchio. So, he wanted to be a little boy. He was a created being. Pinocchio was real. He could talk after a while, but he still wasn't a real boy. You know, and then, well...
You're alive, and you are a real boy.
Whee!
A real life boy. This card's for a celebration.
So that's sort of like, okay, but it's sort of like, I'm getting lots of like, yeah. Now, hang on, who's watched that movie first off? Really? Oh, come on, older people, put your hands up in the air if you watched it. Yeah, wow, okay. It's pretty old. Not that you're old, but it is pretty old. Eleanor started watching it over my shoulder, and she's like, oh, Dad, can we watch that? I'm like, sure we can. It's a lot slower pace than movies these days. But like Pinocchio, there comes a point where we go, whoopee, I'm alive. I'm not just a wooden boy anymore. I've actually been adopted into this real life, the life that God had always created for me, the life that he had planned for me before the foundation of the earth that was always going to come about through Jesus. And so when Jesus says, I'm the way, let's just reframe the logic. So the destination now is to be adopted into the eternal life of the Trinity as a child of God. That's my destination. What's the obstacle? Well, I'm a human creation that also fell. What's the way? Definitely Jesus, no other way. What's the conclusion? Well, Jesus, who was chosen before the creation of the world, became one of us. He dealt with the problem of sin as the nuisance that it was through his death on the cross. And he did it so that we might experience his ultimate intention, life as part of his family. That's what we're called to. So when we're doing this series on the way, the truth and the life, I guess what I wanted to leave you is that the way, at least the way I see it, is that Jesus is the way to us having this amazing life, this abundant life. And it's really important we don't just stop with I'm forgiven. Yes, celebrate that. Let's do. That's amazing. But then there's more. He's adopted us into something amazing as well. So Max, if you could just forward for me. Excellent. So Jesus isn't just the way back to an Eden-like paradise. He's the way that God chose to adopt us from the start of time into his eternal family. So, like I said, just a simple one today, but I just wanted to leave you with that to maybe have a ponder on then, how are we living? How do we live? Do we live like... Because it's pretty easy sometimes to focus on the whole fallen part and then I'm forgiven and you got to keep on reminding yourself, yeah, I am really forgiven, right? Because it's pretty easy to fall back into feeling guilty when actually we're forgiven. But another question to ask is, am I living like I'm truly being accepted into and adopted into this life? Am I living a victorious life with Christ? Am I truly acting as if I'm his brother or sister? And what would that look like? Because know that it's true. It's true for all of us.